This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview CrossFit Games athlete Julie Fouché.
Yo, this is CTP, and you're listening to the Barbell Shrugged podcast, the number one strength and conditioning podcast for CrossFitters.
If you want to check out the video version, which you should, go to fitter.tv and watch that, because it's way cooler than just listening.
And how do you spell fitter.tv there, Mr. Bledsoe?
F-I-T-R.tv.
He's a good speller. All right, while you're there, definitely go and sign up for the newsletter. As part of signing up for the newsletter, you'll get a video that Mike made where he shows you the top seven snatch mistakes that you're probably making that are keeping you from hitting that next PR and lifting some big weight.
Yeah, look at the seminars, tune into the show, and get ready to become a more awesomer version of
you. We give you the tools you need to succeed.
You become a tool.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bletzer here with Chris Moore and Doug Larson. We have our guest, Julie Fouché. We're at day three of the Central East Regional. As you can tell, my voice is a little, it's starting to go.
But you sound even more handsome now.
Yeah. Day one and day two, I was nice and smooth. Now I'm distinguished. Yeah, exactly.
Classy guy.
And may I make the first comment on the show? I want to thank Julie for making a certain little boy's dream come true.
You?
CTP, this is a great day for you, isn't it? She's so gracious. She came. Hey,
CTP has worked, hard over Twitter to get Julie on the show.
You're going to hear it and laugh later.
Thank you, Twitter.
Real quick, make sure you go to barbellstruck.com and sign up for the newsletter so we can inform you of all the stuff we've got coming up. We have some training camps and some. We have the weight gain, the muscle gain challenge starting up next month. So make sure to get on the newsletter so you can be notified of all that stuff we got going on. So, on with the interview. So you've given up competing this past year.
I have, yeah.
Because I heard that med school is pretty tough.
You made that assumption.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Well, it was just more time consuming this year, and I decided I want to focus more on school and not have to make that decision about whether I was going to be training or whether I was going to be studying and not have any regrets about school this year. So.
Yeah. What year are you in?
I just finished my second year.
Okay, so you were in school last year.
Yeah.
And still did very well.
Yeah.
And that's pretty fantastic. So it's like 2 years of coursework, then you're getting more clinical stuff.
Exactly.
More applied.
Exactly. So I just finished my second year, and I take my board exam in 3 weeks. And then I'm actually doing research next year. So.
Fantastic. Yeah. We ourselves are scientists. And researchers.
Yeah.
It just happens to be on Meathead Matters and not helping people live longer lives. Well, I guess technically we help that.
She gave that head nod like, is he serious? I'm not sure if he's serious, but I'm going to smile anyway. I don't know what to help.
No, we're totally scientists.
Definitely scientists. Does he not look like a scientist?
Especially me.
The beard says it all.
I'm the head scientist of the group. That's what they call it, right? The head scientist?
Here's your science experiment. I don't know if this will work. Let me chug it. Let me see how tingly I get.
So how do you feel like that year off is going to affect you next year? Because you do plan on coming back next year, is that right?
Definitely. I think it was the best decision for me overall. If I think about where I want to be a year from now, I definitely am going to have a lot of catching up to do because all these girls have been working so hard all year. But I think overall it was the best choice. So.
And I imagine you still train on a pretty regular basis, just not as intense as you probably would if you had competition coming up.
Right. I'm just doing a lot less volume, and not competing this year gave me a little bit more freedom to focus more on my weaknesses, so I've really been doing just mostly lifting and trying to get a lot stronger.
I was going
to
say, it could end up being the best thing ever for you because it gives you time to slow down. Like people want to accelerate rapidly towards what they want.
Right.
And the one thing I say pretty often is that, look, there's nothing wrong with hitting an obstacle or making a decision to do what's right now and slow down, because it just sets things in better perspective later on. So for you to like have the time to work on weaknesses, what weaknesses you may have, I don't know, but taking the time to nail that out is an investment to accelerate when you return to it. Then you'll be just more hungry for it next year. You're
that's
rested
what I'm
recovered.
Hoping. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping, and I think I'm going to be a lot more motivated.
Julie, let me reassure you, that will come too. If you can visualize it, you will achieve it.
So last year was the first year I saw you compete, and one of the things I noticed was you moved extremely efficient. You know, that's one of the things that made you stand apart. What's your background? Why do you think you move so well?
I did gymnastics growing up, which helps a lot. I think that's perfect background. Just being able to have awareness of your body and pick up new skills. And then just my, I have a really great coach who drills the fundamentals all the time. So we're always working on basic movement.
Who's your coach?
Doug Chapman from HyperFit USA.
I knew that. I just wanted everyone else to know.
Yeah.
I knew that. I'm cool.
Oh, yeah. Someone just sent me an email about that, like saying we should come up to HyperFit. That's
you
your gym?
You should, yeah.
Okay.
It's fun.
Yeah, they were trying to just go do training camp up there.
I was nearby there last year when they had Youth Nationals for weightlifting.
Okay.
And I almost went, but it was still too far from where I was at.
So what weaknesses have you been working on, and what have you been doing about them?
I've mostly just been working on strength. Trying to get a lot stronger.
Why does this theme keep coming up on this show? Could it be that it's the most important thing to work on always?
Well, it's probably, the deficiency that runs, you know, most deep in CrossFit.
Because sure.
I think everyone gets introduced to CrossFit on the conditioning side of things.
Yeah.
So they get, like, sucked in, and then they're like, oh, shit, I got to get strong. So,
right.
Is that how you got sucked in? You get sucked in with Fran or something like that?
Oh, yeah. But definitely I love the Metcons, and then I did that for a couple months, and then when I decided I wanted to compete, my coach had me do just strength for months and months, and I hated it. I just wanted to get back to the Metcons.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I'm like the other
one. We're like, conditioning?
Now, I've learned to love it now, but
so,
it wasn't what
got me.
Were you
Doug from the very beginning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you started in that facility?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, lucky.
I got so lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like a lot of, I mean, that's a great gym to start off at. I mean, they've
absolutely
been around for a long time. The coaching there is solid. So.
Yeah.
It's always nice when something outside of your control just sort of clicks into place and turns out to be one of the better things you could do. It just sort of, oh, yeah, I happen to be in a really great place.
Yeah.
It's the only reason she's really successful. She's lucky.
Always
with,
a great place at the right
I've got to go
time, with
that and the genetics, that and the work ethic, that and the good personality. Yeah, I'm lucky.
So do you feel like, having done CrossFit, I mean, it's a tough sport, you feel like maybe you deal with, like, med school better than some of the other students? You're like, oh, this isn't that hard compared to, like, you know, doing some of this other shit.
I think it's given me a lot more perspective, for sure, just
yeah,
because I have something outside of med school that's really important to me. I make sure I spend time on it, spend time working out, and all the lessons, we all know all the lessons you learn in CrossFit transfer over to everything else, so now I'm studying for my board exam, and I was just making a list of, like, all the reasons why CrossFit and studying for my board exam are the same.
They gave me the thought, how, in pop culture, I mean, I kind of considered for a while going to med school, and I was like, I'm not smart enough to go through all the chemistry classes, really. I like biology, but not a lot of damn chemistry and stuff. But, like, you always have in your mind the picture of the med school students, like, fried, too much coffee, cramming for exams, being pushed around by dickhead instructors, like, memorize all this. And they're so just stressed out. So do you think, for you, it's like having the balance, knowing how to organize and manage stress, eating what you need so you give your body a fighting chance to push back against the stress, and understanding recovery. All these kids in grad school with you must be like this frazzled all the time, and, you know, unfit, unhealthy, pasty. They go, yeah, I'm gonna study for my test, make a fucking A, I'm gonna go do a WOD. You wanna come? Wow, Julie's a super person.
I don't know about that, but it definitely gives me a lot of perspective and a lot more balance.
Yeah. You're studying
absolutely
intervals?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
You think of it like a WOD, like, okay.
Interval studying.
Yeah. Like, just one more round, you can do it.
You could probably do a book on that, like, you know, famous CrossFitter instructs you how you can go through med school more efficiently. All these idiots are always spending like $100,000 a semester on school anyway. I'll throw out $20 for that book. A business idea.
I think it's maybe a misconception, or maybe it's real. I feel this way a lot of times when I meet doctors and they say some things. I'm like, I'm like, are they reading the research, or, you know? And I know that you have to do that in school. Do you feel like there's a disconnect between, like, you know, trying to heal sick people versus optimizing health? And how do you? I mean, do you guys get, like, nutrition classes? Because I've had some friends that are doctors that say, oh, I had zero nutrition classes in med school. It's kind of shocking to me.
It is shocking, and I think you're definitely correct. Our healthcare system and a lot of our medical education is set up to teach people how to care for really sick people.
And to react.
And yeah, exactly. And the system is just not set up well for prevention, and everyone knows that, and we're, you know, trying to make it better and trying to improve, but it's the way that it is. We don't get a lot of nutrition classes, but there's so much to cover,
right,
that kind of you know, especially in the first couple of years, you're just trying to cover everything, and it's hard to get it all in. But
I feel like it's like very fashionable to say that about doctors, how they, you know, they cover sickness and they don't cover actual health and wellness. But that's okay. I think in my opinion, that's why we have nutritionists and trainers and coaches and physical therapists and all these other different categories. That way, if you have a team, a doctor and a nutritionist.
Oh, your mic went out.
We lost you. My mic went out.
Scandalous. Share it.
I think someone stepped on a cord and my mic went out. But, you know, if you have a team of people as an athlete, if you have doctors and physical therapists and chiros and nutritionists and coaches, like, that really is the ideal way to do it, is to have that whole complete team.
Yeah, but you bring up a good point.
We did an episode with a guy named Jeremy Draper
who had that.
Oh, you did see that?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, so it's something like that, having a doctor's office and across the gym and maybe like a nutrition center as like one comprehensive health source. Is that something that might be like a long-term vision for you?
Absolutely. And I think you bring up such a good point, where I think that is the optimal situation, but right now it's so fragmented and you're not, like, the doctors aren't working with the trainers, and it's not, you know, set up to do that. And so what happens is we're getting all these people who are really sick who could have easily been prevented,
right,
if we were working together as a team like that.
Yeah, I see that as being very similar to how CrossFit came together. Like, athletes in CrossFit, they started learning from powerlifting coaches and weightlifting coaches and gymnastics coaches,
right,
and it came together as this comprehensive, you know, functional fitness health system. And I feel like that same thing could happen in the medical profession, where, like, they're learning from the same people. They're learning from PTs and learning from other doctors, learning from coaches, and it comes together where it's not just sickness anymore. It really is pure wellness.
Yeah.
And I feel like wellness is really growing.
Yeah,
in modern day.
Jeremy is now my physician.
Yeah.
I got this moment where I just revolted. I realized, why am I going to the same doctor? He's just saying things. He's assuming he's right because he's a physician. He's bought into that. He says, yeah, you should do XYZ nutrition because that's right, right? And I go, wait a minute. You don't have any real understanding of the latest issues in nutrition. I know more than you, and that doesn't feel right. And you go to a guy like Jeremy, who gives you this very rich, immersive experience where he's working with you. He's got all this expertise. He's got an open mind. He wants people to join him who can give their expertise. He's just like Doug is saying. It's like, the problem is most of these physicians do think they are expert in exercise nutrition just because they carry the banner of doctor. They don't have the open mind to pursue all the knowledge and have that, you know, best of all the worlds and bring this together kind of mentality.
Yeah.
So I will say, the more Julies who join the good fight and join Dr. Draper, the freaking better. We got to do all we can to motivate more physicians to take this path.
Yeah. We went to a rheumatologist like 6 months ago because I had some shoulder issues, some elbow issues, and the guy was kind of like, nah, I'd probably just hang it up. I'm not fucking around. It was like a 2-minute consult. He kind of like did like a
Bobby, $500. You have your insurance card?
That's how it was too. He didn't do shit. Told me just not to work out and train hard anymore.
Take Advil.
And he charged me like $500, and I went home and I was like, that was fucking worthless. And I never went back to see that guy ever again.
I think a lot of people like to try to maybe demonize the doctors, but like you were saying earlier, it's the system. You know, the system's kind of like forming the education side of things, and you know, I think all the doctors go into good intentions.
Absolutely.
But the system is just working against you in a way, and because there's so much bureaucracy in the medical world, like, you know, it's illegal to like do some things that might work, and so like where there might be really quick advances on with strength and conditioning and physical therapy, and you know, and like what they were talking about, like everything working together, I feel like that might be kind of tough in the medical world just because of all the bureaucracy and the laws that apply, and that we don't have any. There's really no laws, you know, that we have to abide as strength and conditioning.
We need less rules.
But you probably have a shit ton of rules that you have to go by, right?
Right. Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of obstacles, and it is true. Even being 2 years into medical school, you see a lot of people. Like, the more I'm exposed to it, the more I see that everyone goes into it with all the right intentions, but sometimes the system just doesn't. It kind of takes a lot out of you. And,
it sounds just like politics, where a guy has this idea he's going to change the world, and he gets in the machine, and then he gets changed.
Right, and at the end of the day, like, you have to remember that, like, your doctor went into it for the right reasons, and she really wants to help you, but a lot of times there's so many constraints on things that they're doing. So even, like, I'm thinking I'm probably going to go into primary care, and there's not, you know, we need more people in primary care, but it's not the attractive thing to go into because
you won't make as
you're
much
seeing,
money.
You don't make as much money, but you're also, you're seeing now people, your appointments are like 5 minutes long, 7 minutes long, and you have to spend so much time, you know, typing up everything that you did, and basically your whole day is documentation and a lot of extra stuff. So
yeah, I went to Jeremy's clinic, and I sat down, and he met with me. There's nobody, there's no staff. I don't see a nurse. I don't feel like he's walking on the hallway doing nothing, and he's making me wait on purpose, and he ducks in for 5 minutes, and he ducks back out, and he comes back in and says, take this and go home. No, he sat there with me for like 2 hours. We're talking nutrition, we're talking training, and like family and life and supplementation, and the conferences he had been to lately and what he had learned. I had this like wash of like, why can't every doctor have this setup? And he's kind of taking the pressure off himself. He's not hiring a bunch of people. The people he does hire are bringing in a lot of value. He can charge more. I mean, he's looking for ways to break out of the traditional insurance models, have charge you a price that's fair and reduced, doesn't have these middlemen in it, and he's giving you amazing value in return. I want, people deserve that kind of experience when they're sick and not feeling well. Yeah. They deserve to have somebody they can trust and have this really engaged with. That's what a physician should be. Not this asshole who walks around outside, like, making you wait on purpose because it like, gives them more power over you. You come in, yes, sir, what will you give me today? What are my pills?
Chris's perspective.
Yeah.
Pretty unique.
Sorry, Julie.
I don't know. I've never sat in a room.
Got some anger
that asshole, he's doing nothing out there.
Well, maybe you walk in the doctor's office and you're the only one guy there, but you're still waiting for 30 minutes. Why?
What I think about that is like, isn't that like the insurance system that kind of pushes that 5 minute thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the way that there's also like a high demand, there's not enough primary care doctors. You're not getting reimbursed very much. So that's why it's so rare to see a practice like that, like a privately owned practice, because most of them are just going under because you can't even support yourself on that kind of practice anymore.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, yeah. You go broke if you do 2-hour consults with everybody.
There's no money in really helping people, sucker.
But
join our crew.
Hopefully we're going to see that improve.
I hope so.
Yeah.
In the next
several
years.
We'll see.
So you don't feel like orthopedics is like the natural fit for you as an athlete?
No, everyone says that, but I've never really been.
No.
Interested in orthopedics. I don't know why.
Dang.
Well,
I've always been more interested in like the biochemical side of things than the like physical side of things.
More on the physiology side of things.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, real quick. Quick break, real
a quick.
Quick
break, real quick. The Department of Redundancy Department.
You know what? It's because I was drinking this Progenix Force. I'm all hopped up.
It works.
Hey guys, this is Rich Froning, and you're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to fitter.tv.
All right, we're back. We have Julie Fouché on the show, and hopefully you're enjoying the interview.
I am.
Oh, I thought you were talking to the audience.
Who are you talking to?
We're glad you're enjoying it, too.
She was like, I didn't know if I was going to enjoy this or not.
I was really nervous about coming on these guys' show, then I realized they're just full of shit. It's fine.
Hey, I think you approached it better than CJ Martin yesterday. CJ was like...
He sat down
like,
a little,
he was like,
didn't know what to expect. What are these guys going to ask me?
And they asked me something crazy. He was like, oh, no, we're just going to bullshit for 45 minutes. So.
And a couple pearls thrown in there for good measure.
Yeah.
Good.
It was good.
So have you trial run all these wads just so you can, like, go back after everyone else finishes and kind of see where you end up?
You're like, oh, I beat you.
I actually haven't. I did one, but I'm going to wait until I get back more into training before I do them again, I think.
Is it true that you did all the open wads in one day?
I did them over the course of 2 days or 3 days.
Oh, okay.
I did, like, it was, like, 36 hours.
So nothing crazy.
No.
Sounds pretty crazy
to
me.
I mean, doing one in one day is tough for me.
Yeah, I've done none any days. Gravity rides me too hard to do these things. God bless these athletes. God bless them all.
Gravity rides me too hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's rough being 300 pounds.
It is.
So what's your training schedule look like right now since you're, like, way off season?
Yeah, I'm just, like, so focused on studying for my exam, so usually 4 or 5 days a week, like, an hour, 2 hours working out.
Isn't it fun?
Just 5 days a week.
I'm not really
hours.
Training that hard now. It's kind of embarrassing. How much training? Like 5 days a week for 2 hours a day. It's kind of, I'm sorry.
It's what the Surgeon General says, times six.
Oh, man.
Actually, what do you think about that? Like Surgeon General's recommendation for, you know, working out 3 times a week for 30 minutes at a low intensity pace, like
walking.
Right.
Do they tell you to tell your clients that? What does the medical world advise you to say?
I mean, always more exercise is better. Pretty much every time you see a patient, you want to encourage them to keep being active. But yeah, there are certain standard recommendations that certain, like the ADA will recommend, or
the safest, lowest risk possible recommendation that anybody could ever make to anyone. Just go for a walk and for 30 minutes sometimes. You'll live longer.
It's like read a magazine when you take a shit. You'll be really smart. Make sure you do it every time, though.
3 to 5 times a day, depending on how much fiber you get.
How much fiber you're
in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. You're the derailer that time, though.
I was. Usually I'm not the derailer. Usually these guys are taking us way off track. I'm trying to keep us on track.
Okay.
I don't derail.
You've been really good lately.
I have been.
The show has evolved.
I just been keeping my mouth shut.
It's a good policy for you.
Right here.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Yeah. So when, Julie, when do you resume the competitive, get the fire going again, set the goals, identify a competition? When will that happen?
As soon as my exam is over.
When
so
is the exam?
In 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
We're coming down to the wire.
So I know.
You're going to start training for 2014 in 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been training for 2014. But seriously, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
I have an interest in this. So how do the study sessions look? What performance enhancers, supplements are you using to help you sit down and get through this material? What does the intense study session of Julie look like?
Coffee.
God bless you.
Mostly coffee.
A lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee. They're sprinkling a little Progenix Force, a little Jack 3D, mix it all up in a little stew, slam her down.
Have you ever tried to study on Jack 3D?
No.
Don't try.
Don't do it. Be very scary.
I think I'll stick to the coffee.
It's sort of illegal now. That makes it prohibitive.
It's a banned substance.
You can't really get it, but if you can, man, it's good.
She's like, I didn't want it until now.
We call it's a 1,3 dimethylmethmeth.
I call it dimethylmethmeth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the best stimulant ever invented by man.
Yeah. If you want to think hard or move fast,
do that.
It works.
Yeah.
That's your recommendation for Barbell Shrug. Something to do with meth. I don't remember what they were talking about. They talked about meth at one point.
We talked to a medical professional, and all I got was take meth if you want to go fast.
Meth, that all the time? No, surely not.
All right, so actually, supplement-wise, what do you take for supplements?
I just use whey protein, About Time protein. That's about it. Oh, and Pure Pharma, like fish oil.
I think I should have forgot to say them.
CTP, do you see Julie over there? She's here, but she's also over there. Did you see that? It's pretty cool, but they're probably thinking, why the fuck is Julie over there and not over here?
Yeah, is that weird? You're like podcasting in like a competitor's booth. Like, that's your booth right there, and you're over here in the Progenix booth.
You're like, this sucks.
Okay. My picture is still.
They said it was
okay. Sam's over there pissed.
They said it was okay as long as we didn't bring it up on the show. Good job.
I was not aware of this. I apologize to Pure Pharma.
I'm sure the fish oil is fantastic.
Yeah. It is.
So that's all, this little fish oil and protein. Yeah. And it's shocking that, I guess, most of your nutrition comes from food.
Yes.
Real food, the highest quality you can get your hands on.
Yes.
Let that be a lesson to everybody.
Have you learned anything about nootropics in med school?
No.
Bledsoe and I have an interest in these nootropics.
I've never even heard of that before.
No. Helps your brain function.
Oh.
Well, I guess that was an idea. Stuff.
It helps your brain function real good.
We take it all the time.
We're on it right now. What is the actual? I put together the actual pitch. What like neurotransmitter precursors that are supposed to help you?
There's different kinds, but like yeah, some of them are like it's a class of drugs, but there's also some natural versions of it.
Okay.
But it helps you retain information better and stuff like that. Learn faster when you go to sleep at night. You know, what may take three hours to assimilate in the mind or the brain, you know, only takes, say, 15 minutes.
Interesting.
So there's different kinds within that class. But anyways, it's interesting to read about. And
put an asterisk on that statement, though, because we have absolutely no fucking proof that that is anything.
I'm just telling you what Wikipedia told me, really.
That's reliable.
Yeah, I think so. That's where I get all my information. Just the internet in general.
That explains everything.
Google searches.
That yeah. explains a lot.
How to start a business. Google, how do you start a business? I've got it.
Was it who was it? They went to the doctor. Oh, yeah. CTB went to the doctor for a problem. And
you want to tell what the problem is?
Top secret problem.
Top secret problem.
It'd be embarrassing problem.
It's very itchy.
He goes, no, it's nothing like that. But he said he went to the doctor, and the doctor went back, and he came back. And he said it looked like the doctor came back and was like, he was so unsure about what he was about to say. It looked like he had just gone to Google and searched it. Yeah.
It'd be like going to a CrossFit gym, and your doctor's like,
hold that.
it'd be like going to a CrossFit gym, and you're doing the air squat in your fundamentals class, and the guy's like, Okay, so we're going to, all right, what we need to do with your feet is, okay, we're going to air squat.
The doctor makes you feel real good about his advice.
The doctor didn't give him a lot of confidence, but he said it was like he went, he checked me out, went in the other room, Googled some stuff,
and then forgot what he was going to say.
Actually, you know what? I have a question about that. So in the medical world, if you look unconfident, like that's how when someone gives you advice, they come back and sue you later. They're like, that person didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Like, did they tell you just to like, even if you don't know what they're saying, just to kind of nod and smile and look confident and act the part, even when you have no idea what they're talking about, so you can like run out of the room and Google it real quick?
I mean, they don't specifically teach you that.
They probably should.
And they probably should, that's right.
I think that you have to have confidence in the things you know, but obviously you're not going to know everything. There's too much to possibly know, and I think I don't know what your perspective is, but from my perspective, if you admit that you don't know something, but you're like, hey, we're going to look this up together, we're going to figure out what it is, that will give your patients a lot more confidence than you running out trying to figure it out.
But if you're trying to explain something,
trying to cover something up.
I feel like a lot of doctors feel like they're not allowed to not know.
I think that's true.
That's the expectation from the patient's perspective sometimes, is that, well, you're the doctor, you're supposed to know, but all doctors know there's way too much to know.
It probably helps to give out a little bit of hints that, like, it could be XYZ, but, you know, we're not sure.
Right.
All the evidence is not back yet. Like, put it on the tests that are out. Don't make it like you don't know. Like, I need more information before I will know for sure, but we'll figure this out together.
Right.
Me and you, me giving you the medical advice you need, you becoming a healthier, happier human being. Like, thanks, doctor. Versus going, I don't fucking know what's wrong with you.
Maybe you should have been a doctor, Chris.
I am a doctor.
If you don't know something, what's your first move? Like, if you don't know something, do you Google it? Or is there like a,
I mean,
is there like a doctor's Google somewhere we don't know about?
There is.
WebMD.
WebMD, that's right. All doctors know that.
I mean, I'm like a second year medical student, so there's a lot of stuff I don't know. But typically, you're going to do exactly what you just said and say, this is what I'm thinking it could be, or, you know, this is, you know, the possibilities, these are the tests I want to run, and then partner with the patient trying to figure
it out. Let's throw some pills at you till you feel better.
Yeah. Do you get the very, like, very ambiguous questions where someone's just like, my back hurts. What do you think it is? people give that to trainers all the time. Like, they got to come to you like, my head kind of hurts. What do you think's wrong with me? I'm a doctor, not a psychic. I got to run tests, and I need blood work, and we have scanners. And, like, you can't just, like, magically know what it is. But I bet you're getting that even now, even as a second-year med student.
Sure. Everyone comes in with different complaints. But, I mean, I'm not even in the clinic that much.
I just mean, when you're walking around, like, your family members call you on the phone. Like, my wrist kind of hurts. What do you think's wrong?
My niece Julie is a doctor. She can tell me what's going on with me. My ankle's swollen. What's that? What did you do to your ankle?
You're not going into orthopedics, so you have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Do you ever get into like the high carb, low fat versus healthy fats, protein, vegetables debates? Do you get the paleo debates with the medical world?
I try not to get into too many debates, but
good policy.
But it's,
no one's changing their mind.
Yeah, it's interesting. Right. It's very interesting.
But it helps that if you look fantastic and are fit and are a high competitive athlete and you're a medical doctor, I think if anybody can convince somebody, Julie, it may be you. You may have to bear this burden yourself. But trust me, eat some bacon in the morning. I'm a doctor. Listen to me.
I think it's becoming apparent that statins may not be the best drug in the world. Like, how's that going over the medical community right now? Are they still, like, prescribing that to everybody with cholesterol, or, like, high cholesterol?
I haven't been following the research on that too closely, so I don't know. But all the decisions that are made in the medical community are based off of big research studies and the outcomes from those. So I can't really say anything on that. But
it's a conspiracy.
Those pharmaceutical companies.
I was just thinking,
big conspiracy against us.
The struggle I would always have, Doug, is I'm like, look, family member, dear friend, I recommend you eat bacon because XYZ, don't take that thing. And by the way, take this advice from your friendly 300-pound ex-powerlifter friend who's giving you this advice. I can't deliver that advice. No one's going to believe me. They'll believe Julie.
Yeah, it definitely helps to look the part.
Well, I don't think she's going to be telling people to eat bacon.
People take the bacon thing too far. But
don't step out of bounds here, Mike.
I eat bacon for breakfast, bacon and eggs, like, in the morning with my classmates, and they're like, what are you eating over there?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not a dummy like you
all. All the other girls are pissed. They're like, she eats bacon every day, and she's all fit. This is bullshit.
Oh, Julie, you know they're talking shit about you. They have to be talking shit about you.
And I'm eating this bagel.
They're stressed. Like, I keep eating these whole grains of cereal. Nothing's happening. Getting all stressed. They're flunking these tests. They're, you know, bags in the eyes. No passion to put that makeup on in the morning. And here you are, like, glowing, coming from a wad, 6 a.m., crushing bacon and eggs. I'll see you guys in class. That bitch.
Not quite like that.
You can see I'm very imaginative. I'm creating your whole world in my mind.
I can tell.
I'm making all these assumptions and just running with it.
Chris tends to make assumptions. That's
it's so fun.
If you haven't figured it out by now, this show should be no question. No question.
The views and opinions of Chris Moore are not necessarily those of Barbell Shrug.
CTP yeah. Put an asterisk in there, disclaimer whenever I talk ever.
So what's your favorite midnight snack for all-night studying sessions? Coffee all night, I'm assuming.
I try not to stay up super late, actually, but...
You haven't pulled any all-nighters in medical school?
No.
No?
That's not.
I haven't done that since college, no.
No? No,
well,
no,
we,
no big Adderall
in my in my program, we actually don't have any tests.
Whoa.
Did you not just say you had to wait until your tests were over?
Well, this is my
board. It's a board.
This is my board exam, yeah. But I haven't taken any tests for the last 2 years, so there hasn't been a lot of cramming sessions.
My kind of school.
But,
yeah, that sounds awesome.
I could have done medical school. I didn't even know it.
Well, no, but Mike, remember, she's doing things that are very hard that you can't do, though. Yeah, there's no classical test, but are you going to be able to talk to patients and convey a sense of professionalism and knowledge?
No, absolutely not.
You're hosting a radio show. Let's not get it twisted. Don't get too excited. But I do like that. Like, the problem with the test, like any test, like somebody picks from a scattered information what they want, like require of you. Like, okay, let me pick things that will represent her body of knowledge. Versus just observing you, working with patients for a certain amount of hours, and you just demonstrating over and over and over again that you are understanding the material. Like, there's no unnecessary pressure to just learn a few things that will come at you at random and keep your eyes on facts as opposed to concepts that you will apply to treating people better.
Absolutely.
Like, demonstrate your knowledge of anatomy, demonstrate your knowledge of medicine and ideas. Don't just like get caught with, I'm going to ask you 100 questions from this thousands and thousands of pages of stuff you looked at. Let's see if you get lucky and get the ones you might get right. That's not what a good physician is made by. You got to have this immersive. I love that.
Yeah, it's been really interesting, and it was definitely difficult to get used to, just because, you know, all through school you're used to taking tests.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more real life. Like, in real life, you're not going to have tests to force you, to motivate you to study, and I think it allows you to really learn the concepts and integrate all of that, and not be focused on what do I need to do to get a good grade, but what do I need to do to understand this.
You don't have deadlines?
We still have some deadlines, yeah, but it's different. We have, instead of grades, we do this portfolio, which basically throughout the whole year we're evaluated by our peers and by our faculty members, written feedback on everything we do in like small group sessions or whenever we're working with patients. And then at the end of the year, we write basically a huge essay trying to convince our promotions committee this is why I've met all the standards that I have to meet to move on to the next year.
This sounds a lot better than regular school.
Yeah, so it's really cool. And you basically can set goals. You can say, okay, this is where I need to work on. This is what I'm going to do to improve. And then you work from there. And it's on things all over the map, not just medical knowledge, but professionalism, communication skills, research, all these different competencies. So it's been an awesome experience so far.
Has there been anything from the medical world that you've learned in your 2 years of schooling that's really helped you as a CrossFit athlete? Like, anything new and novel that you were like, wow, I didn't really think I was going to get that from the medical world, but it totally helped me.
I don't know, like, specifically with CrossFit training or anything, but...
So probably just the experience of going through it and having success. Like, man, I'm confident that, like, no matter what I take on, like, just diligence and working at it and achieving balance and keeping everything in perspective, I can just make it through whatever I set my mind on. That's probably the really awesome lesson of it.
And I think it's good, too, to not be so focused on CrossFit that's all I do, that, you know, you can get so wrapped up in training that it's nice to have something else to focus on and be able to get my mind off it whenever I'm, you know, nervous about a competition or something else. Yeah. I don't spend too much time thinking about it.
It's like Rogan stressed on his podcast, like having that, a human needs some release physically. Like, you got to use your body and express force and do what it is programmed to do. And if you can do that daily, then everything else you'll do, you'll hit harder because you had that release. And now you can focus wholeheartedly on what you're doing. But those people who sit around and never use their body, hey, your mind is active, but it's too active. It's attached to preoccupations and all these ideas about what you need, but it never gets a physical release. You never have that balance. it's crazy that more people don't recognize something that's so obvious. Like, how can you deal with stress if you don't just get all this out?
Yeah.
And then you can sit back in a chair and read a book and be at peace when you read the book.
And I can see how people do it because it sucks, right? Working out is painful. But like, once you start doing it and you realize how good you feel, then you realize how important it is. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys put out a book, you and Doug, about your training.
Well, Doug put out a book, yeah.
Okay.
It's basically just all the programming that we did last year. So it's not anything beyond that. Basically just every single day what we did from the warm-up all the way through workout, skill sets, everything. Okay. Just for people to reference or get ideas from or see what we did.
I haven't seen the book, so is what you did every day for an entire year? Is there explanations about why changes were made or why you did certain things?
No, it's basically just the programming. It's pretty straightforward. There's like a small intro that Doug did, but I think maybe in the future he might write something more about the thought behind it and the strategy. But
you didn't have any little sections in there where you put some notes or like where you wrote a little section that talked about your training at all,
or like your diary entry? Dear diary, this one sucked. This one was lame as hell.
No, I wrote a foreword for it, so I basically just wrote about overall my experience over the last
few
years.
What's the name of the book? And where can I get it if I want it?
You can buy it on Amazon.com.
Search Julie.
Just search. I don't even remember what the title is, but if you search Doug Chapman training for the CrossFit Games or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I think I might.
Doug's watching
myself,
this right now. Like, she doesn't even know the name.
You know what?
I'm not going to sell anymore.
This is true. I think I myself also have a book on Amazon. I think underneath it says you might also be interested in. And I think I saw that book, Training for the CrossFit Games. Yeah. I think it's right underneath.
Yeah.
It's probably associated on Amazon.
Yeah,
because
CrossFit is the same keyword.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to wrap this up. Thanks for coming on the show. Really
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. We had a great time. Didn't
Thank
we,
you for
guys?
Being patient with us, too.
We had a great time, right?
Yeah.
And again, thank you for the Make-A-Wish Foundation for making CTP's dream come true.
Is there, before you guys, anything you want to promote? Sponsors, gyms, websites?
Sponsors, I already talked about Pure Pharma, who has been awesome to me, About Time, Arcs, Jump Ropes, and Reebok, of course.
Thank you, Reebok.
Thank you to all of them.
Yeah. Your webpage?
I have a blog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to promote your blog?
Sure.
Okay. I have a blog.
Sure
nobody read it.
Nobody look at it.
It's. I don't post very often, so
that's, okay.
That's one of my goals for next year, post more often.
Is this your training log, more or less?
No, it's mostly just random thoughts from my brain.
Okay. Just be on Barbell Buddha. Random thoughts.
I will. But I will warn you ahead of time that it'll be very
random thoughts.
It'll be only the kind of crap I talk about. I'll try to behave if I ever get you on, Julie. I apologize ahead of time.
Speaking of that, you want to go ahead and plug yourself?
Yeah, I'll plug myself. So
yeah,
Progress
go
is
plug
on.
Yourself.
Yeah, Progress, the book I wrote, is on iTunes and Amazon. Go check it out. I think you'll like it. Again, it's been labeled as exquisite, and you don't hear that word thrown around lightly. And then barbellbuddha.com, my blog, and then the show we drunkenly launched Friday night at the CrossFit Games that we're going to improve upon. Don't worry. It'll be on iTunes soon.
There you go. All right, and if you want to sign up for the six-month Muscle Gain Challenge, we start that roughly every 3 months. We got one going right now. Guys are making awesome progress. We have another one coming up on July 8th, which is about 3 weeks away, or whenever this episode posts. I'm not sure how far away it'll be, but there may or may not be some spots available. We're only accepting maybe 50 or we might be able to expand that to possibly around 60 people. And right now we're maybe around 35 or 40. So we're almost full. If you want to sign up for the 6 month Muscle Gain Challenge, you can go to barbellstruck.com, click on the shop, click on online coaching, and then click on the 6 month Muscle Gain Challenge. And if you have questions about that program, you can always email me, doug@barbellstruck.com.
Make sure to head over to Facebook and like us there, and follow us on Twitter @barbellstruck. If you want to ask us questions about training or nutrition, anything like that, we have another video series called The Daily BS, and you can just shoot questions to us from the website under Ask a Question. Also, if you like the podcast, go to iTunes, give us 5 stars, and leave a comment. See you next time.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.